The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 7th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, the U.S. Justice Department says it's okay for Smithfield to buy premium standard. And North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan wants USDA to shut the doors on some Canadian beef imports. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later this half hour. We'll find out this afternoon just how far along USDA believes farmers are with corn planting. The Crop Progress Report is due out at 3 o'clock Central Time. Dave will take you through it, by the way, tomorrow morning at 8:50 during the pre-opening market report. And then during the Tuesday edition of this show, we'll hear from the statisticians in each of the top five corn-growing states. Speaking of stats, Emerson Nassiger, agronomist here at the U of I, has been doing the math on potential yield reductions due to the late corn planting. It's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek figure, but if you know Emerson, you know it's statistically correct. We'll hear the report closer to the bottom of the hour. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, 2:32 Central Time, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss today's global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat unchanged today at $4.82, July at $4.94 a bushel, down three quarters, and the settlement price for the September soft red winter wheat at $5.06 a bushel, unchanged. December contract $5.14.5, and they finished off a penny. March futures at $5.21 were down 1.5 for the afternoon. From the corn pit, nearby May contract at $3.69.5, down 11.75, July at $3.79. They finished down 11.75 as well. In September at 380.75, off 8.75. December futures at 383 were down 7.25. That's 383.25 for the December contract in the corn pit. March futures 394.25, down 6.75. The May at 401, off 6.5. And July corn futures were off 5.25 today at 406.25. May beans at $7.29 a bushel, down 4.5. July down a nickel at 742.5. And the August futures at 749.75, down 3.75. September contract down 4.5 cents at 756.5 for the day. November beans 772.25 were down 4. January futures down 2.5 at 782. And the March soybeans at $7.89.25 were down 3.75. May bean meal futures at 195.70 were off 80 cents. July futures were down a dime at 201.50 in the meal. May bean oil at 32.51 down 21. And July futures at 33.04 were down 13 for the afternoon. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, nearby May feeder cattle at 107.50. They were up 35 cents for the day. June live cattle at 91.95, down 22.5 cents. The August futures were down 17.5 cents at $90.70 a hundredweight. Lean hogs May contract at 75.37.5. They finished 12.5 cents higher. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the June at $61.50 a barrel at this hour, down 43 cents, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,305, up just about 41 points at the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Before we hear from Kurt Kimmel, just want to take a quick moment to thank Randall Matheny and Clarence Shuddy down at the Lincoln Land Agri-Energy Ethanol Plant in Palestine, Illinois. They opened their plant up for myself and a group of Brazilian farmers, including Blair Omaji, who's the governor of Mato Grosso, and the claimed largest Brazilian soybean farmer. at about 440,000 acres, though, as we were driving back on Saturday afternoon from our very nice visit to Lincoln Land Agri-Energy, I asked how many acres they represented in total out of the 12 or so folks that were there. About 10% of the total Mato Grosso production, 700,000 hectares. You can multiply that by 2.2. And there was one producer there that actually had more hectares or acres than Blair Omaji did. So it was an interesting couple, two or three days. We'll talk more about that as the week progresses. A visit with some really large producers from Brazil. And much thanks to Clarence Shuddy and to Randall Matheny, who opened up the Lincoln Land Agri-Energy plant for us to come down and take a look at ethanol production. On the line with us now is Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I asked him if they needed a good broker.
I hope you gave him my business card.
You bet I did. Actually, Maji just said he had guys on the floor, so he wasn't too worried about it. Which didn't surprise me at all, I guess. That's a lot of acres of soybeans.
Wow.
Man. Just, you know, the guys, they had, I think, what they say, 5.5 million hectares, which is about, I guess that's about the size of Illinois, isn't it? Oh, man. Well, no, that's not. But, man. You think about it, and if you put that, I think somebody told me he had 100,000 hectares in one contiguous tract. That's something like 200,000 acres. That's just amazing. Speaking of amazing, let's talk about what happened in the corn pit overnight and then throughout the day. An up day overnight, but turned around and took all the gains away.
Hey, you said it amazing, unbelievable. We were in here last night rebounding them. Ton of calls with the market higher with the rain. Everybody watching the radar and the news of the moisture out west, and everybody wish they were long. And came here this morning shortly after the open. Everybody wish they were sold. And that's the type of atmosphere that we've been talking about: volatile, volatile, volatile. We're going to see sharps up, sharp downs. By no means is the high end, and no means is the low end. I think we still got a lot of trading in front of us. I think we got to keep that in the back of our mind as we go through this type of atmosphere. But technically, a lot of damage took place in the corn chart. We opened above the previous day's high, closed below the previous day's low, trading day, that is, and it created a reversal down, per se, and outside down day. Met the 50-day moving average at the top there, so we're probably due to back and fill technical-wise. But fundamentally, we'll see what the conditions or progress shows this afternoon on corn planting. So a lot of the trades in this 40 to 50% area, a lot of them's dialed in to 50% complete as a nation on corn. And, you know, if we come in above that, it's going to be bearish. If we come in below that, that's going to be somewhat bullish. But if you go back in history, this time, say we come in at 45% just as a conversational piece.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the wettest year in recent history, probably 93 at the floods. At that time, we were only 18% planted, and the next year would be probably 95, big demand and slow plains. We were 20% planted at this time in history compared to then. So being 45, 50% complete is not a huge concern right at the moment. Now, if we start to slip here from here on out, and look at individual state breakdowns, once you get past that May 20th, it will become more of a huge event. So it's going to be kind of critical to see what type of benchmark we work with once we see those numbers this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Speaking of numbers, I better make a correction. I think during the settlement prices at 10 till the hour, and it didn't dawn on me that I read it this way because it was actually there on the page, and you may have seen this too, the CBOT numbers that we get and everybody else gets because they just came in directly and we have a live feed, showed that the May corn actually had a bottom of 269. That would have been a heck of a drop in the marketplace. It was 368 if the settlement prices, and they've changed the numbers since then, on the bottom side for that May contract. And the corn pit, the high there at 386, or settlement at 369.5. So they finished down 11.75 for the afternoon. Tell me about what this means to the marketplace, and maybe a little bit more about the numbers and whether it came down and hit some, I think it did it hit the 50-day and then just kind of bounce off of that? Or what did we find out in those numbers as you were looking across both the May and the December contracts?
Well, on the D, so on the upside there, we ran into the 50-day on the upside there. And if your technician drew a downtrend line connecting the previous highs, we pretty well ran into that. Looking at the day-only trade, you know, technically they had some objectives of $4 to sell. For those who were fortunate enough to have some sell orders in the overnight trade, took advantage of that. And the volume just sort of ran out on the buy side during the day as we saw a little bit more hedge pressure come in on the open. But the other thing that probably influenced the grain market, too, was the lower energy values. At one time, crude oil was down over $1 a barrel, and gasoline futures down over 700 points, which would equate to 7 cents a gallon. And I think that sort of kept a lid on the grain market, too, Todd.
And then volatility expected tomorrow, or we don't know because we don't know what the crop progress number is going to look like. What's your expectations?
It depends on the crop conditions report. How far above or below the 50% benchmark it comes in at, and that will sort of determine the overnight opening. But I wouldn't be surprised to you know, see the market either up 10 cents or down 10 cents tonight, according to what their report says. But once you price in those factors at 6:30 this evening, as we get into the early evening hours, we'll start to see another set of weather maps come out. And that might be more of an influence, too, because it's going to be real critical for that western corn belt to pick up a slack, especially Iowa. Iowa was 14% planted last week. You know, they need to be at least 30%. Kansas was about 30%. You know, they need to bring their number up another notch or two. Minnesota, another big producer, only 28%. Complete. Nebraska was only 14% complete. So we need to see some pretty good sizable jumps in those western states.
And then, of course, we'll have to look forward after we get the crop progress report to the USDA's WASDE report, which is due out Monday morning or Friday morning of this week.
Yeah, we'll start to focus on how this old crop demand is coming along. This morning's export inspections report was probably a little less than expected. Corn shipments were 33 million. They were looking for 35 to 40. Bean shipments, 11. They is in the ballpark from 10 to 15. Wheat shipments in the middle there, 15 to 20. So we'll continue to watch these exports. They need to be a little bit more aggressive. This dollar has really weakened up here over the last few months. So technically speaking, you know, this demand should be fairly strong due to the weak dollar value. Then, two, we'll see what the USDA or what the organizations want to do with this new crop production number.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. Our own AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser says tonight in Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms as well. Most of those will be in the west. In Indiana, partly cloudy, lows will range from 47 in southeastern Indiana to 64 in northwestern Illinois this evening. And then tomorrow, Ed says, in eastern and southern Indiana, partly to mostly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 74 in northwestern Illinois to 82 in the south. The scattered showers will continue across the two-state region with some thunderstorms right on through Wednesday, with some isolated showers and thunderstorms still possible on Thursday and Friday. High pressure expected to nose in from the north, providing mostly dry weather for this upcoming weekend. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Justice Department has approved Smithfield Foods' acquisition of Premium Standard Farms. Federal regulators say the purchase will not harm competition or depress prices paid to hog farmers. Smithfield is the nation's largest hog producer and pork processor. Premium Standard is the nation's second largest hog producer and sixth largest pork processor. North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan has introduced legislation that would prohibit the Department of Agriculture from allowing the importation of Canadian cattle and beef derived from Canadian cattle over 30 months of age, until, that is, country of origin labeling is implemented. Senator Kent Conrad of North Dakota and Senator Mike Enzi of Wyoming are also primary sponsors for the bill. Venezuela President Hugo Chavez says it's time to nationalize the country's oil supply. Chavez is already threatening foreign oil companies who don't agree to state control. Texas GOP Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson says that's bad news for American consumers.
That's because the deterioration of Venezuela's oil industry could spark a surge in oil prices for American consumers. And we all know, Mr. President, that prices have already jumped just in the last 30 days. Anyone who has filled a gasoline tank knows that this would be a huge hit on the American economy. In fact, some economists say that every time oil prices rise by 10%, an average of 150,000 Americans lose their jobs because it presses the economy.
Chavez is also working to build a coalition of Latin American countries and says he'll sell oil to those nations at half price. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is lobbying hard against a Senate energy bill that would increase the federal renewable fuel standard to 36 billion gallons by 2022. The bill was approved last week in committee and forwarded to the full Senate for consideration. NCBA officials say members of Congress need to fully understand the consequences of the bill, including potential higher food prices. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, you know, the late start to the corn planting season across the nation has farmers and market analysts wondering about the yield impact. I'll have more on what the stats in Illinois say about the potential. If you follow the trend line for yield as predicted by the percent planted as of April 30th and use a 40% mark, Emerson Nafziger says the statewide average for Illinois could drop dramatically, maybe down to 145 bushels to the acre, though he says that a bit wryly.
That's a number to scare the industry with for sure. And every year is sort of an exception. But it's clear that this year is one where planting is not especially early, and unlike the last 3 years, we are going to stretch a fair amount of our planting, of course, into May, and people always get nervous when that happens.
The extension agronomist says the later planting does have an impact, and even more so as time passes. He suggests that corn yield drops by one bushel a day for the first 10 days of May that it's not planted, another two bushels a day for the next 10 days, and three bushels a day over the last part of May.
Those aren't too different than the percentages we've been using for 15 years or so now in terms of yield loss. It just sort of modernizes it for the higher yields that we have today. And that says that by the 10th of May, we've maybe lost 10 bushel on average. I want to stress that's an average. These things are just wildly variable from year to year. Sometimes mid-May planting is as good as an early May or late April planting. Sometimes it's considerably worse. And so these are simply unpredictable now because it depends so heavily on what happens the rest of the season. But based on the information we'd have, this trend of yield loss does accelerate during May. I guess depending how you look at it, it's a fairly gradual or maybe for some people a very rapid acceleration of yield loss potential.
The yield loss in years past, says Knapsager, seemed less important. Part of the problem is that each bushel of corn, he says, represents a much larger portion of a farm's profit, and that makes farmers anxious. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. How are you, Greg?
Doing good, Todd.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about how many acres Maji farms, and I think, but I'm not sure because I haven't really looked up how big Champaign County is, but that's about 36 miles square, which is normally a county. That's just about what he farms.
Yeah, if Kurt would want to do his bean hedging, we'd gladly settle for the corn hedging.
Well, yeah, they don't have nearly as much corn, but interestingly enough, they call it succession, so they grow one crop after the other. We call it double crop here, except they flip it around, and they don't use wheat. They grow corn after their soybeans there, and they said it yields about half what we might get here, so something like... And we sort of back figured it 90 bushel to the acre or something thereabouts. And that was one of the reasons they were in looking at the ethanol plants. I don't want to get in trouble for teaching Brazilians how to produce corn ethanol, but they asked to go see that. And so we helped them arrange a little bit of a trip down to that part of the world. Don't get mad at me. I know you guys are at the Andersons. You're working with Marathon Oil, too. I don't think they can ship their ethanol out of there. He's only got one good road coming out of Mato Grosso, so I'm fairly certain that it's not going to be used for ethanol, at least not in that small amounts. Let's talk about the cash grain market real quickly. What do you see since Sunday night? Last night, what do you see in this marketplace? What have farmers been saying about this 20 sort of cent trading range where they took it off the top and then they put it back on and took it off again?
You hit it right on the head. That's exactly what's going on. We're in a trading range here. We got up to $4 on the December contract in the night session when we opened this morning and didn't get anywhere close to that. That was kind of a confirmation that maybe we've gone high enough for now, and now we're going back down, it looks like, to... In the middle of the range. We closed at 383 on the Dece, and we were down around 363 last week or the week before. So 360 to $4 seems like a pretty good range until we get this crop figured out, and we probably won't have it figured out for a couple more months yet.
And so the question is, on the old crop, are you thinking that farmers should be willing sellers at the top end of this?
On a percentage basis, yeah. You know, the it depends if you want to hold on into the summer, which now is only less than 2 months away.
Yeah.
I think we will see new contract highs in corn this summer. We're not off to the greatest start in the world, but you're going to have to hold on to it for another couple of months. We're not going to see it because of planting delays. We'll probably see it because of some concerns around pollination time if we see it.
Now, despite the fact that you're an elevator and you'd like to have the corn, what do you think they should do with their new crop?
New crop corn, they need to get their basis locked in. We are planting definitely more acres, and especially here in central Illinois and central Indiana. Where are we going to put it all? That's the question. You know, the demand seems to be there. It's legitimate demand, but even an ethanol plant doesn't need it all in the fall. They need it spread out over 12 months. So we're planting 15% more acres to corn in Illinois. I don't think we built 15% more space. So space is going to be an issue this fall. If you don't have on-farm storage, you need to get that basis locked in.
Oh, I said despite the fact that you're an elevator. That's okay. I know you would tell me that.
I call it like I see it. If I thought there was going to be plenty of room, I would say just let the elevator sit empty, but I don't think that'll be the problem this fall.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 363, down 12. New corn, 358, and January, 380. Beans are 706 for cash, 747 for fall, 762 for next January, and new wheat is 454.
We appreciate it much.
Thanks, Todd.
And Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Champaign County each and every Monday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A nonprofit business group is suggesting that Governor Al Blagojevich raise income taxes instead of going ahead with his proposed gross receipts tax. The Civic Federation of Chicago also rejected the budget's call for universal access to health insurance and said the gross receipts tax on business would overburden Illinois businesses and consumers. In the report, the group said boosting personal and corporate taxes would help stabilize the state's financial health. While the group's report was highly critical, it did voice support for Blagojevich's idea of leasing the state lottery to pay down the debt run up by the state's pension system. The governor's office contends the group's plan wouldn't close corporate tax loopholes or provide health insurance to those who need it. New York's attorney general is investigating the relationship that a Nebraska-based student loan consolidation company had with alumni associations across the country, including at the University of Illinois. Nelnet signed contracts with the U of I Association and others to promote its loan programs for a fee. Vanessa Forey of the U of I Association wouldn't disclose that fee, but says the practice is not unethical and has gone through the proper channels. It appears that one vote will mean the end of a village board career for a man in the Champaign County village of Ivesdale. A result of votes cast in last month's election there found 61 people voted for Donna Gallivan, the candidate who finished in third place with three seats on the board, and 60 voted for Tom Kerwin. Kerwin had asked for the recount. This morning, the county clerk's office found exactly the same result as the original. A Purdue University trustee calls France Cordova's resume out of this world. This afternoon, the board named Cordova to be the school's 11th president and the first woman to hold the post. Cordova is an internationally recognized astrophysicist and currently the chancellor of the University of California, Riverside. She'll replace Martin Jiske, who will retire June 30th. Cordova was the chief scientist at NASA for 4 years, the youngest person and first woman to hold the position. Billionaire financier Carl Icahn's campaign to win a seat on Illinois-based Motorola's board could come to fruition today. The cell phone maker's annual meeting is tonight. Some observers say Icahn's down-to-the-wire proxy battle may be too close to call. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It's a Monday afternoon, and Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Mark.
Hello there, Todd.
Well, some big news out this afternoon once we get to 3 o'clock and they bring out the numbers for the crop progress report, but you probably can give us a good idea of what kind of progress was made over the past week given rainfall across Iowa and Illinois.
Well, it all depends on where you are located here across the Midwest, whether you're based in the Eastern Belt or the Western Belt. Specifically for Illinois, we had quite an open week here with kind of a lack of significant rainfall over the past week's time frame. And really, you have to go back to 2 weeks ago where we had that big rain event, especially northern Illinois. That was really the last time we had any kind of moderate to heavy rainfall across the state. So we would think that the numbers here should reflect pretty good progress during the past week across Illinois. For Iowa, it's very, very debatable. And, you know, the big news over the weekend was the incredible rains across the western and southern sections of Iowa, where some areas picked up as much as 5, 6, even isolated 7-inch amounts. And that also extends westward into eastern Nebraska. And it all depends on how much they were able to get accomplished here prior to the onset of those rains for the weekend. You know, they previously had 7 days or so of dry weather, and also the last time that they received any kind of significant precip was with that bigger rain event 2 weeks ago. So it would be very interesting to see the numbers here coming out shortly, and overall here, it all depends on where you're located and how much rain you got.
And I would think that the subsoil levels and moisture levels across the soil profile would be awfully high, and saturation would be reached fairly quickly in parts of Iowa and Illinois both?
More so into Iowa. And for Illinois, really, it came down to those rains 2 weeks ago across the northern sections. And really, since then, there hasn't been really that much rainfall. But from a subsoil moisture standpoint, obviously, that's very good. And from a surface soil moisture standpoint, the kind of lack of rain has been good to allow planting to go at a rapid clip.
Can you check in on China and their corn and soybean crop for me, please?
Yeah, Todd. China is an area that needs to be watched closer here. And what we've seen across specifically the North China Plain region, that is really their southern areas, the southern corn and bean production areas, also their northern winter wheat areas. That area has seen a lack of rainfall over the past month time frame, and we see that continuing here as we go through this early to middle portion of May. And so that is an area to watch here. Still not critical, but they need some rain here later on this month to help boost soil moisture to allow for favorable germination and emergence of newly planted corn and soybeans. That dryness has allowed rapid planting, but need that moisture here to support the seed.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. He or John Davis join us from that office each and every Monday afternoon. That is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Diggy, will be sure to give you the crop progress numbers at that time. Also, you can pick them up off our website this evening at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.